show is back. Nick Wilson on Afternoon Drive. We got Mac Robinson on the board. We got Sweet Young Thang, Jax Gregory behind the glass. We got Big Weech, Jake Volnick on the 2020s. But it's already been, I mean, it's only 2 o'clock, and it's been a day in Cleveland sports. We get the Cavs back tonight. Braun and Bronny, did you think it was plastic and meant nothing, or did you love every second of it? The world is split, and the Guardians still aren't in the playoffs anymore. But the big news of the day, Kevin Stefanski says, you know what? In the interest of winning, Ken Dorsey now calls the plays. Don't know why it took to get to 1-6 to get here, but here we is. And across from me, the man of Cleveland Magazine, 92.3thefan.com. Bald and beautiful. It's Danny Cunningham.
Thank What's up, buddy? You. How are you, dude?
I don't know what happened with my voice there.
I don't know either. But, I didn't do that. You did that yourself.
I kind of went Howard Dean-ish there.
A little bit, yeah.
Like, yeah, yeah. No. So yeah. I think that...
You did do that.
If we just kind of summed up where we are in Cleveland sports, I think a good Howard Dean, what in the blue hell sound was that, is where I'm at. But personally, I'm great.
Well, I'm glad to hear both those things. I'm glad to hear you're there with Cleveland sports. I'm glad to hear you are there in your personal life.
How about
Very
you?
Happy for
How are you.
You
doing?
I'm busy, man. I'm good. I'm glad to be back. I feel like it's been forever since I've been in with you, so I'm super excited to be here today.
Yeah, we're in the part of the season, and the Browns being awful informs this. The Guardians getting kicked out of the playoffs informs this. Now basketball being back, we're just in this weird moment in sports where, like, I just don't know my head from my ass on any given day. It just feels as if we are hurtling through space at a billion miles an hour with no real direction or no real anything. And here's the thing. Some of that is the football is so bad.
Mm-hmm.
Some of this is just this, and some of this is the state of the like mental health of Cleveland sports at large because of the weight of the Deshaun thing. And like I don't want to say good thing because Deshaun got injured, but a positive thing to come out of a bad thing is the fact that now the steam is escaping, right? If Sunday was sticking the pin in the cushion or in the balloon, the last 3 days, each in their own specific ways, have been just that air blasting out of the balloon. And so what's funny is day one, rage.
Right.
Just forget you for putting us through this. This has been a wasteful 3 years. You've wasted 3 years of my favorite football players' lives. It's the everything. It was a bleep you on the whole every fan cheered thing. Or
right.
And then yesterday it was like, we're right where we want to be because we have an answer on Deshaun. Like, it's not the answer you wanted, but there is some sort of definitive thing, and now you can just start doing things like we used to do, which is have hope that you can pick a direction with the Browns. And then today, the Stefanski thing is just, I guess they're the same old Browns. Like, every day is in a different emotion. It's like Inside Out 3.
Yes, it feels like December and Berea showed up this week. Like, the Browns became the old Browns again. I don't know if it was Sunday or if it was Monday when the team and the players and the fans were all mad at each other. I don't know if it's today, but in a weird way, and I hate to say this, it feels like we're home. In a weird way, it feels like we are home this week as Browns fans with the thing we are most used to, and that thing, Nick Wilson, is dysfunction.
I will say, chaos is what we are used to. If you grew up in the 90s with or 80s or 90s with parents, with children parenting children, there's some chaos that you got used to. I love the idea of this is home because this is
I mean,
this
I
is
don't,
where we
but
know.
It's the reality.
Yeah.
Well, I don't love that idea, but it's the truth.
So I don't love the idea, but I love the description of the idea. And the reality is, like, there's so many different things with this. I think the idea that it took to get to 1-6 and Deshaun Watson to blow out his Achilles to finally turn play calling over to the guy who you hired to make an offense for Deshaun. Surface level, that does not look like it makes a lick of sense that at any point you could have pulled that ripcord and you waited until Deshaun Watson was out for the rest of the season.
You did that, but I also, the thing here is that I don't know, and we're not going to ever have an answer to this, and it's going to drive me crazy. I don't know how much of an effect it's going to have, because now you're going to be looking, you're going to be watching Ken Dorsey call plays for something that looks entirely different because the quarterback is different. Like, I expect this offense to look so much better this Sunday. I don't know that Ken Dorsey's going to have how much impact at all, because I think Deshaun Watson was not willing to take shots that were like 15 yards down the field. Jameis Winston has a lot of faults as a quarterback, but the one thing you can count on Jameis Winston to do is he's going to sling it. And you couldn't count on Deshaun Watson to do that. They're going to look better, and I don't know that it's going to have anything to do with the play calling change.
So can I say that real quick? I don't know they're going to look better, meaning all of a sudden they're going to score 30 points a game.
No, but they can't look worse.
Well, okay, but I think it might be more fun to watch. And
100%. It will 100% be more fun to watch.
Some of that is really no fault of Deshaun. Every throw with Deshaun was weighted to a ridiculous degree. Meaning, even a good play, if it wasn't a great play, you couldn't give credit for because of the pressure of every single play with Deshaun. So there is a pressure-free aspect here. We're not doing the house money thing because that, no, you're bankrupt. There's no house money.
Yes, the money, like, is gone.
This thing is hurtling towards a black hole. It's not hurtling towards sunshine, kittens, and rainbows. But, like, the one thing I will say is what makes this game on Sunday watchable, again, is that all of a sudden, hey, there's no real pressure. If Jameis goes out there and throws for 300 yards, but he throws for five interceptions and they lose by two touchdowns, you'll go, hey, how about those 300 yards?
Yeah, kind of fun, right? I mean, I think a lot of this is going to look like a, because I don't think the team is as good. I think some of this is going to look like a losing version of Joe Flacco. I think that there are a lot of similarities that Jameis and Joe Flacco share as quarterbacks. I don't think the Browns are as good this year as they were last year. Very clearly, the 1-6 record tells me that. But I think the games are going to kind of look like they did last year. They're going to be fun. Jameis is going to make a couple of really dumb mistakes every week. You can count on Jameis Winston to do that. He's also going to connect on some bombs every week because that's who Jameis Winston is. It's going to be fun, but I don't know that this is something that's going to lead to a lot of wins for this Browns team.
So it's interesting we're having this conversation about the changing of guard of play calling with Ken Dorsey taking over, because if, okay, so many of these things are if statements, right? Why did this happen now? You know, what's the goal of this? Kevin Stefanski's lot in all of this. Kevin Stefanski is CEO versus Kevin is the play caller. But here's the thing. If this was done, if okay, because they're not going to tell you, and even if they do, they're going to put some PR spin on it that has no grounding in reality. This organization is lost right now. There's no adults in the room, ironically, and this is probably going to get worse in some fashion before it gets better. I think that's just the point blank reality of where we are. It might look different. It might be more fun because just by virtue of subtracting Deshaun from the equation, I think it gets more fun.
Yes.
For a lot of fans out there. But specific to this idea about why Kevin Stefanski is no longer the play caller, the one thing could be, the thing that I have had the biggest problem with this year is the lack of professionalism on offense. And I'm talking about eons and eons and endless amounts of stupid penalties. And I don't know that the blocking concepts are magically going to get better. I don't know that all of a sudden they're going to find a give a damn. I think that's busted. But do I think that Kevin Stefanski giving up play calling, if it was his decision, or even if it wasn't, do I think it could be, hey, if we don't wrinkle out some of the basic, we're talking like high school level mistakes that are made,
right?
You won't be here in December, let alone be here in August, like, or in October. Like, we've talked about losing the locker room. This is what it looks like, and this could be a hypothetically, well, Kevin is CEO, you got to figure this out before we can talk about Kevin the play caller.
Yeah, that could be what this is about. I don't know. I don't know who made this decision. Like, Kevin said that this was fully his. I don't know that I entirely believe that. I don't know why I should believe that. I don't know that this is going to look much different. The thing that you brought up with the just countless amount of stupid penalties, and it's not like, you know, aggressive penalties where there's a holding call here or there. It's lining up offsides or lining up in the wrong position, illegal formation, illegal shifts, stuff like that. That drives me nuts to watch. And that is the thing I really hope gets cleaned up, but I don't know that changing play callers cleans that up.
Yeah.
And I do think there is something to losing the locker room. And I don't know if that's on coaching. I don't know if that's on quarterback play. But what I do know about that is when you have a team that is as veteran as this Browns team is, like, this is not a young football team we're talking about. This is an old football team we're talking about that had very high expectations. When things go as poorly as they have gone, it's really difficult to keep that locker room intact because those guys, they start thinking about what's next for them. Because when you're young, you can still be sold the vision of the future in a certain spot. You can't sell, I think, a lot of the veterans in that locker room about what next year could be in Cleveland, because a lot of them probably won't be here.
Yeah, I think it's so funny. Like, I do think the Browns are a bad offense in a big part because Deshaun just didn't have it.
Yeah, he stunk.
And I mean, just a stunk probably doesn't even cut the mustard.
That's being nice.
On how bad it was. But that's like teams in the NFL who can't complete like 11-yard passes have more success than what the Browns do. Like, it is impossible to quantify how bad this offense has been. And that is where it becomes more. Like, when we're talking about procedure in alignment, when we're talking about the run game, when we talk about all the little things beyond the you don't pass the ball down the field, all those things aren't about Deshaun. And that's what has been scariest about this. And in a way, Deshaun has been a Band-Aid. For Browns fans, it's just been blame that guy because he hasn't lived up to his contract and we don't like him and we've never embraced him. He's never embraced us. Screw that. Well, you got 10 games now that you might want to go ahead and prove that you remember how to look like a functional offense, because that is not even a bar I'm willing to negotiate on. Like, hey, we were scoring with like the Pittsburgh thing. We're going to score 21 points a game or 17 points a game. Okay, how do we get better? When I can't trust you to function, I mean, we're talking about more than just, hey, let's go ahead and tinker with a couple things. That is, give me an axe because I'm going to chop this whole damn thing down.
I think that the Deshaun as a Band-Aid or a scapegoat, really, for all of this, and I guess Kevin is being made into a scapegoat too for this by giving up play calling, but I think that's an interesting point to bring up because you're right that he's not the entire problem. But I do think that when the quarterback struggles or is as bad as Deshaun Watson has been this year, all those other things, and I'm not talking about lining up properly. That is independent of your quarterback play. I could play quarterback for the Browns, and they should still know how to line up correctly.
We've been saying that for a while now.
Like, yes, exactly. But when you bring up the running game and not being able to complete an 11-yard pass, like, I think those things are connected. Because if Deshaun Watson were better, while their offensive line is not going to be confused with anyone that's great ever, because they're just not as talented. They've been beat up. I don't know if the offensive line coaching has been as good as it has been in years past. But running the football comes a little bit easier to you when you're not a one-dimensional football team, the way that defenses have very easily been able to make the Browns. Because your quarterback for the first 7 games of the year is throwing like 8-yard passes at most. And I think that's a really difficult way to live as an offense. And that's even before talking about not being able to line up properly.
216-474-0092. Want to hear from you guys. At Nick Wilson says, Danny, what's your Twitter handle again? Twitter handle is something I call it.
Yeah, there you go. Real D Cunningham.
All right. And make sure to follow the Real D at Real D Cunningham on social media. Social media reactions on X, powered by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. So Kevin Stefanski has handed over play calling to Ken Dorsey. And the reality is, it makes no sense to do it today. Let's just be real point blank here. Now, we can say things like, well, now you get a chance to evaluate Ken Dorsey. I don't know that that's necessary. Like, and I continue to hear things like, well, you got to find out what you have in DTR. That's a losing team mentality. He was a 5th-round pick. But like, this is it, you have to find out what you have in 1st, 2nd, and 3rd-round picks. You don't really have to do that with fifth-round picks.
But, Nick, this is a losing team. Well, of course that's the mentality. So, they're 1-6.
Well, but there's losing teams, and then there's losing organizations. And what the last 4 years were supposed to mean is that the losing organization was no longer that dysfunctional.
Okay, that's fair.
So 7 weeks in, after Deshaun blows out his Achilles, because I really, the order of operations is still wild to me here. Deshaun blows out his Achilles, and then, and only then, do you go, let's say we have Ken Dorsey. So whether Kevin made the decision or somebody made the decision for him, that speaks to me of head-up assness. And that is the worst thing. Like, on one hand, you can sell me, well, you know, maybe Jameis, because he's going to go out there, he's going to throw bombs, maybe that takes the pressure off the run game, because you just need one domino to fall. Like, somebody's got to take pressure off of somebody so that something good might possibly grow. When everything's dead, nothing can grow.
Competence is achievable.
Yes. Or yeah, I'd like competence because I was going to go farther than that. Competence is all I'm asking for.
It's achievable.
But at the same point, this just is so same old Cleveland Browns. And it almost doesn't make, so it does matter whose decision it is, but it almost doesn't. Because I didn't know Kevin Stefanski, Andrew Berry, Paul DePodesta. I didn't know we could go this low with these guys. And that's what I think has a lot of people, myself included, with eyes open today of, oh, it's even worse than we thought. Like, that's wild to be there when 7 weeks ago the conversation was, all right, how do you make the playoffs? And, you know, how good does Deshaun have to be to make a Super Bowl run?
Is the divisional round enough? That's what it was before the season. Like, this was AFC championship or bust, and we're talking about a team who just demoted its head coach from play caller and is 1-6.
And now it kind of feels like, not kind of, now it kind of feels like we've gone the other way, which is if you don't get the number one pick or something close to it, a top three pick with a chance to take a quarterback, then this whole season's going to be for naught as well.
Nick, we're home.
Can we get a nicer home? Can I get a remodel? Can we get Chip and Joanna to come in and maybe knock out a couple walls? Open,
you know,
concepts are
is?
All the rage.
That remodel's a franchise quarterback.
Same as it
Browns
ever was.
Fans, we're home.
Same as it ever was. Ken Carmen and the Anthony Lyman take their show beyond 6 to 10 a.m. on Tuesdays and Thursdays with their emerging podcast scene. Don't let this read obfuscate that idea right there. Listen live on the 92.3 The Fan Extra channel on the free Odyssey app and 92.3thefan.com, presented by Extend Technologies, or check out every single archived episodes. We've got Ross Tucker coming up at 4. We're going to ask him about this whole thing. We've also got Daryl Ryder at 5:20. Usually joins us at 6, but with the Stefanski news, with the blustering from City Hall, hear about the new stadium. There, it's just like Art Modell. No, it's not. Stop being disingenuous, and please, if you can, stop being politicians. I digress. Big Shot Bob Robert Ori coming up at 6 o'clock, but 216-474-0092. Curtis, Midge, you stay there. What do you guys make of Ken Dorsey as the new play caller after the Browns' 1-6 start? That's next on 92.3 The Fan.